Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of KRFY Community Conversations and the Tuesday Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, your morning show host, and today I am very lucky to be joined by two very experienced women who work with NAMI Far North, and the name of that's the acronym. The full name is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And today, as I said, I am joined by the president of NAMI Far North, Dawn Mira. Hello, Dawn.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So happy to have you. And Amber Snoddy. And Amber is a mental health advocate and a past president of NAMI Far North. Hello, Amber.
Hello there.
Great to have you both. Well, let's start by hearing just a bit about both of you. I'd like to hear your backgrounds and how you got involved with NAMI Far North. You go ahead and start, Amber.
Oh, okay. Well, I got involved because I have a family member that is living with a mental illness. And we were in a crisis mode, and we found some lovely friends that steered us towards NAMI Far North. And from there on, we took a lot of little baby steps, but we're doing really well right now. So I became an advocate so I could pass that forward.
Okay, well, tell me, what is a mental health advocate?
A mental health advocate is a person like me who is helping people with mental health issues.
Okay.
That's a pretty simple way to put it.
Yeah. Is the training kind of on the ground? You learn it as you go? You didn't like get a degree in mental health advocacy?
No, but we did get the training from the National Association, mm-hmm. the NAMI.
Yeah, very good. And for how long have you been doing this?
Since 2008.
Okay, I'm going to use my math. That's like 14 years. That's a long time.
Right. That is a long time. Yeah.
It really is. Well, good. And you've really hung in there. And I know it's it can be challenging. Wonderful. Dawn, you are the current president. Tell us a bit about yourself, what you do in the community, how you came to be here, and how you got involved with NAMI Far North.
Well, I actually have a very similar story. My family member became sick, and he had a psychotic break in about 2010 or 11. And that's how long I've been associated with NAMI, because in the very beginning, my family and I could not find any resources on how to help him in the best way. And there's so many different avenues that you need to go down to figure out how to help your loved one. It's just a different medical field altogether. And there's also the support that they provided that really imprinted me into the organization, because they kind of saved our family from the doom and gloom of how devastating these diseases can be when they strike.
That's something. And, you know, I can't wait to hear more about it, but let's move on, and I'll ask you to tell us more about the organization, the mission, maybe a bit of history, and if you have some local history about NAMI.
Yeah, well, so NAMI stands for National Alliance on Mental Illness, and their affiliate is their organization is a national one. It was a grassroots organization that was designed to improve the lives of individuals living with mental illness and their families and friends. And they do this through education, support, and advocacy. The history for them, I believe the national organization started in 79, And then as far as NAMI Far North, there's about 700 of these affiliates. So we're one of 700, maybe even 1,000 now. But that started up in Bonner and Boundary County around 2000s, early 2000s.
Yeah, so it's been around for a bit. Well, I'm interested in knowing who works at NAMI. I'm curious about whether you're all volunteers or if there's a full-time staff. Tell us about the organization and its structure here.
Well, NAMI Far North is 100% a volunteer organization. We have a very active board of how many people are on the board now, Dawn?
I think 7 or 8.
And then we have educational staff that teaches the family and friends program, the connections program, the family support group, and the family to family classes.
Okay, so that's a lot to be having going on with all volunteers and mental health, probably mental health crises and all that kind of thing. Tell me about what does the demographic look like of people that need help from NAMI? Tell me more about that.
Well, as we all know, mental illness doesn't really cross into any specific demographic at all. It has no boundaries. And so people that have severe mental illness is pretty much our big support group and who we serve and their families, of course. I think Amber and I are on the family side, so we know more about how the families gather and what happens with all of that. We call the people that have mental illness, that they're living with mental illness, we call those consumers. And they have their own special group that is led monthly, sometimes bi-monthly. And that's kind of how they all kind of, we separate. Because the families, when they're together, need to be able to express what they need in an area that's safe for their family member and themselves. Yeah. So we pretty much divide ourselves up.
Okay. And is it all age ranges? Do you help adults, children? Who are the consumers generally?
Well, that's a good question. I think that NAMI National will do helping with all groups. They have a very good junior and school programs everywhere. As far as NAMI Far North, we mainly are helping adults and some young adults as well. So not just mature adults, but young adults. We have plans to move into the school system. COVID really took us for a little break. So we're regathering. NAMI Idaho helps us with faith groups and school groups right now. And we're getting help with how to infiltrate into those areas.
Yeah, great. And I mean, NAMI Far North is a nonprofit organization helping families and the people in need, the consumers. And of course, there are resources, I think, right through the government or through the healthcare system, but you're very different from that. Can you explain how you're different from someone who might be involved in the overall healthcare system?
Amber, do you want to take
that? Okay. How are we different? Well, we just have the ability to relate to people with mental illness and their families. Healthcare workers and professionals have a really different role because they offer their specific therapies and their medications. And we more or less give education and guidance to people, and we meet them on kind of a one-on-one level, and They're able to express things to us and we to them that just don't come in the realm of a traditional therapy or, you know, professional.
Yeah, so you're truly some support that isn't present in the current healthcare system, it sounds like.
Well, I'll add to that too. We aren't medical professionals. Well, I am, I'm a veterinarian, but I don't do brains and the companion animals. We don't talk about that as much. But NAMI National began at the kitchen table because two women believed their adult children diagnosed with schizophrenia deserved a life beyond medication, maintenance, and institutionalization. And so they were called the NAMI Mommies. They began a battle against the stigma and discrimination. And they also offered their experience to the other families, which sometimes medical professionals don't have a peer-led approach or can't have that.
Yeah, it sounds like
it really, add to that. I hope that's clear.
Yeah, so it's really been able to add to all the resources that people with mental illness can look for. They can get some additional support and meet and know people in their area, I would think, that kind of thing. I'm curious about where you see the greatest need. Like, what are the biggest needs in the mental health area, and how is NAMI addressing those?
I would say the biggest need is having a place for people to go to rehab after they've been diagnosed and treated. That changed decades ago, and it's been a sore spot. We're usually behind as far as getting people where they need to go before they fall again or have more problems. And so I think just staying on top of it by providing more resources for good mental health or after they have incidents and are recovering.
Yeah.
Amber, you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that's well said.
And is our healthcare system addressing that? Or folks, I know it's difficult to get into mental health treatment and having help, but are there a lot of people needing certain treatments that are not able to get in? They're just hoping and waiting for treatment. Tell me more about that.
So I'm going to tell you that we're forced to spend where we really, we're forced to spend in areas that we shouldn't be doing. So like training police, mental health courts, jails and prisons, forensic hospitals. That's where our money is going right now. We do choose to spend a lot in prevention, trauma, suicide campaigns, stigma. All of those things is what we do, but where we should be spending is the serious mental ill. There's 4% of the population are seriously mentally ill. And that is something that we're not really helping them as much as we could be. We should be spending more money on hospitals. As you know, here, it's very limited what we can offer people when there's a crisis, and just in our small town and our county. Housing, assisted outpatient treatment, what I was talking about, like clubhouses, psychiatrists. We only have maybe one or two people that can prescribe here in town. Maybe there's more now, but it's still not enough. People wait weeks to get in to see someone to help them. And then just rehabilitation. So I have specific areas that we want to try to put our efforts towards, and those last ones are really needed.
Yeah, because 4% of the population is pretty darn big, and waiting when you're in crisis, I can't imagine that. I just can't imagine what that's like for a person who's in a mental health crisis. It's got to be really tough. Well, we'll move on to topics about what's changing for you all and what is positive. And one is that you're back to in-person meetings. So tell me more about that.
Yes. Well, so much of what we do in our support groups is based on behavioral issues. When we can meet in person, it gives us a better opportunity to tune into their emotions and to offer them support and empathy, reassurance, hope, comfort, and sometimes just giving them permission to feel numb is really important. So yes, we are back in person finally.
Yeah, that's great news. And it sounds very important. And next question that I've got for you is, what is the process for someone who's in need of help with mental health, either the person themselves or maybe the family? How does that process get started? How do we start getting our loved ones help, or they themselves?
Well, I really wish everybody knew about NAMI. So we're really trying to get our word out there, our organization, and make sure people know we're available. And then once they do know about us, they can just get online and get onto our website at namifarnorth.org. I think all the information is there. So you just need to Google us.
namifarnorth.org, NAMI. Mm-hmm. Farnorth.org. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, just need to get online and find us. And there's always a phone number. I took some today, some calls today. We try to be available to in person speak to someone, because there's a lot of shyness going on sometimes. It's hard to walk into a group meeting when you haven't talked to them first.
Right. It's a hard subject to talk about, and that's what you're working on. So we have your website, and then I know you have some really great areas of support, and one is educational. You just mentioned it, but I'd like to hear about that. And then also, I guess we've got a really interesting presentation coming, but let's start about educational opportunities.
Yes. Education is our main service that we offer, that NAMI, even NAMI National offers. It is not only in the way of our classes, but also we have a monthly meeting, and we have a speaker from the community who presents other services available to those living with mental illness and their families. So we have education for whatever mental issues there are.
Yeah. What if you've got, now this is kind of an out of the blue question for you, but what if you have someone who you feel has mental health issues and you're just not sure, can you all help? Would your educational services help a family member try and understand if their loved one needs help?
Oh, that's sure. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
We have a script that we have to follow. So we have to be really careful about what we say, but we do go through some of the symptoms of different diseases that are out there: schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, bipolar disease, anxiety disorder. And these are the big ones. So using the peer approach, it's just really helpful for people to hear about, well, gosh, you know, this is what it does. And here's my experience of what happened when so-and-so did this or whatever. We share a lot of intimate information as a way to just let people know that they're not alone.
Yeah. And that might help them on their journey if they have a loved one who might be going down that road, and maybe learn how to get them some help and get some support.
Yes. We definitely lead them to their resources they need to get the help, and also coping skills.
You know, I would say too that a fair percentage of the people that we interact with NAMI are not diagnosed. You know, sometimes we eventually help them get to the point where they can be diagnosed, but they don't have to be diagnosed. To receive our services.
That's an important point, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because someone might be hesitant if they didn't have a diagnosed family member, you know, that or friend or what have you, and just be hesitant. So that's great to know.
One more thing, Julie. We do have for the consumers, a peer-to-peer approach with them as well. They do all kinds of stuff for people that have their own issues going on that are, that they're dealing with. And so the other side is them. We are not them right now. Today, we're just representing the families today, but there is also another whole section of support for those that live with mental illness that that have recovered quite well and are doing their life quite happily.
Yeah, so important to have someone you can talk to and be able to relate to when you're living, you know, living with mental illness. That's an important aspect of NAMI. Well, if our listeners are thinking that they wanted to become involved in some way with NAMI Far North, how would they do that? Are there, are you, do you have a need for volunteers?
Well, the bigger picture for our listeners can best be gotten by popping into one of our monthly meetings. If they are, or their loved one is in a trauma, they can learn how to personally deal with it in one of our support groups there. And as far as being a volunteer, we would love to have people express an interest, and we could follow up with that.
We have a big thing coming up in October. It's a NAMI walk. It's a national walk. So we would love to have some people to help with that. We already have a few, but we need, the more the merrier for that one.
That's for sure. And then you've got something happening on May 6th. A presentation. Yes. Tell us about that.
So Family and Friends is what it's called. And Family and Friends is a 1.5 hour presentation on different mental illnesses. I'll let you talk about it, Amber. I'm so sorry.
It's a program that is designed by NAMI National. So it's really a condensed version of our family to family course, which is a 12-week course or a 12-session course. And so it's really condensed version of everything you want to know about mental illness
in 1.5 hours. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, really condensed.
Gotta listen.
We talk really fast. But we do provide skills that you can use at home that can help with communication, managing stress, self-care, and crisis preparation. So that's really valuable. Actually, we've had some good comments, good feedback from our class. And this is going to be May 6th. So that's a Friday. Bring your lunch to the library and you can enjoy our presentation. I hope you get something out of it.
I don't know who wouldn't. I think that would be an excellent way to spend lunchtime on May 6th. I think it's going to go on my schedule. And it's free. Oh boy, that's even better. So very good. Well, as we start to come to a close, I'm just wondering if you might have any success stories from NAMI. Of course, I won't ask you to name names, but there must be some. There's, you know, mental illness can be such a dark topic, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. People do well and get adjusted. And I'd just like to know if you've got a story that's a good one.
Well, I'm not going to really talk about people, but I can say that one of the very best examples of what we do is our statistics. Of all the people that we have lifted up with hope, self-care, restoring balance in their lives, we often give them a sense of empowerment that is just not offered anywhere else.
That's a great comment, because it can be kind of a desperate feeling, I would think, to have a mental illness and feel like no one understands you and not be connected. So if NAMI Far North can do that, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, and I think that I think that dealing with a family member and maybe the family member themselves, it's like a roller coaster ride. Remission happens, and then everything, it's, you know, we go to college and we get their degree and we are stable for a period of time, and then we have another break or something happens. But just having that stability of NAMI being around, they know this happens. But the fact that you can recover from these illnesses was something that I didn't know. You just see people on the street, maybe not medicated or having not recovering. And I think NAMI is here to say that, yes, people do have normal lives and they live with this mental illness and they learn how to cope and deal with it and have a good life. So that's something that really does happen more than it doesn't.
That is uplifting, because
and if you want to,
for both consumers and the family members, that's a great message. Now you go ahead, Amber.
I was going to say, if you want to hear personal stories, come to our presentation in May, because that's when Don and I will be presenting our personal stories.
Well, that is a reason to attend, to hear some success stories and hear about the possibilities for folks, families, and folks dealing with mental illness. I'll put it on my calendar. Well, gals, if there's nothing else to add, I'm going to come to a conclusion. Are you feeling good about it?
Yes. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much,
Joy. Oh, Don. All right. Well, then I'm going to conclude this really important conversation. This has been KRFY Community Conversations. And our guests today are the National Alliance on Mental Illness Far North. So it's NAMI Far North, with Don Mara and Amber Snoddy. Don is the current president and Amber is a past president. And we've really learned a lot about a great resource in our community for those with mental health issues and with their families. Thank you both.
Thank you.